Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside. Happy Thursday, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh. Bulls, 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 bulls.
The Bulls.
No, there was no basketball tonight. I don't know if you know this.
The Bulls.
Basketball was canceled because the Lakers got flexed out of their game tomorrow night, and LeBron is so mad he's actually playing.
Do they get flexed back in now? Yeah. What happens?
No, there's no basketball. LeBron has canceled basketball because he's very upset about that. There's no basketball tonight.
So that was all the fishy talk? Why didn't you just say it?
Yeah. Nah, you know, somebody likes to be cryptic on Twitter. Gee, what a shock. The original cryptic tweeter. He is the originator of the cryptic tweet.
And we got to come up with a title for it, though.
I said, how about
cryptic tweeter doesn't work?
Crypto.com. What about that? We could just tie it right into where he's going to be playing.
Hey, he's going to be playing there. What do we got? About 3 weeks left, baby. What's funny, though, is that they are advertising. There's three big concert events affiliated with Super Bowl week. And in every advertisement, it's live at Staples Center. Like, no.
Well, though. They have
I mean,
to go,
it is.
Well,
are they going to change those ads on December 25th,
yeah.
too?
As soon as it's just like MLB.com. As soon as a lockout happened, they took everybody's picture away. It's as soon as it's December 25th, all those promotions just go, and live at Crypto.com Arena. It's going to just flip just like that.
Do all the teams that sign guys in that $1.7 billion feeding frenzy get to laugh saying, well, we it doesn't really count because we got locked out. We just wanted to see people, you know, get all bug-eyed at the size of the contracts for some of these players. Psych, it didn't happen. I don't know.
No, chaos. Well, listen, I will say this. I do have this day one of the lockout in MLB, is that if there is no season, the winner of the previous season wins the World Series. Since the most previous season is the off season, the Mets are clearly champions of the off season. They will be World Series champions without having to throw a pitch, which is Rob Manfred's dream, to not actually have the games and have to pay players to play in them. He wants baseball without actually having the games. So I have to worry about paying players and all this. We'll just have the owners make revenue and money off of uniforms and we'll tour other countries and make money. Now the games are the worst thing for him. The games are the worst because we have to have the pesky players actually do things. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I still got why Billy Pierce belongs in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, sure.
10 biggest trades in White Sox history.
There were 10
video clip under the letter to baseball fans is wild White Sox rally in the ninth.
We will get to Silhouette Day in Major League Baseball in a few minutes because it started last night, the last couple hours of the show, and oh my goodness, did we have some fun with that. But right now, Thursday Night Football, we are at halftime. The Cowboys and the Saints putting up a lot of yards, not a lot of points. Cowboys get a field goal the final play of the second quarter. They go into halftime leading the Saints 13-7. It's been a big night so far for Dak Prescott, 177 and a touchdown through the air. Meanwhile, Taysom Hill providing what the Saints hoped he would provide, making plays, throwing the football. He's at 144 and a touchdown, also making plays with his legs. He's also the Saints' leading rusher, which is not a good thing, but it's something they need if you're not going to have Alvin Kamara.
Right.
You need somebody to be able to make plays like that. So far, look, we've seen the quarterbacks make some plays. Teams are moving the football. But the number one thing out of this, Mike, is that, you know, look, I've always told you, look, the Cowboys are fine. The Cowboys are fine. The Cowboys are fine. If the Cowboys lose this game, and now you're talking about Dallas after a big winning streak, losing to the Broncos and then beating the Falcons. Okay, they got it right. And then they lose to the Chiefs. Then they lose to the Raiders. Now you lose to the Saints. Eventually, when you lose to so many middle-of-the-pack teams, that's kind of who you are. I'll give you the loss to the Chiefs. Okay, the Chiefs played well defensively, and they were able to get a win. The Chiefs have been hot. I'll give you that. But now, if you're talking about losing four out of your last five and three of those losses are mediocre teams, this is when I'm going to say, okay, you know what? Now the Cowboys are proving exactly who I thought they'd be in the beginning of the year, which was, hey, they'll win the NFC East, probably because the NFC East stinks. They'll be around a little bit over 500, and they won't be a threat in the playoffs. They were playing so well, and now it's like the Cowboys can't help it. They got to go back to who they were, which is, hey, we're the best team in a bad division. We're not going to win a ton of games, but we'll be exciting. At least we'll be in the conversation. This is where the Cowboys are if they lose this game.
Well, potential problems here, because we look at the stretch run here, and you still have four of your final five games are in division. You still have two against Washington, who suddenly, I mean, 5-6, not world-beating, but Taylor Heineke's looked pretty good. That defense, even though they lost, you know, two of their big behemoths on that defensive front, Chase Young goes down for the year. You've got the other wired with his jaw shut. I mean, Montez Sweat, he leaves, and all of a sudden they're playing pretty good defense. Maybe there's a chance. Antonio Gibson. So though you got home and away with them. You still have a road game against the Giants. Giants aren't great, but at home, they've been good enough to screw up seasons for other folks. See the Eagles, who, coincidentally, the Cowboys will finish the season against. And the week prior, they play the Cardinals, who in theory are now healthy and ready to roll for the stretch run. So, you know, no gimmies down the stretch. So you've left the door open to lose the division, and then all of a sudden you're chasing. I mean, this is problematic. And you look at the run game, most of the running yards tonight came on a play to CeeDee Lamb. All right, Ezekiel Elliott, he's banged up. All sorts of reports of exactly how much pain and what's the threshold and all that. Tony Pollard hasn't fallen forward yet. So it was still some ills. And if Taysom Hill doesn't throw the ball into triple coverage like a dope, they probably get points on that drive. Well, I mean, it was a hell of an interception. I mean, that's about as good an interception as you're going to see along the sideline there. But, you know, when you look at what was it, Jaron Kearse, with the little toe tap, like he was a wide receiver. But, you know, that was points that were left taken off the board, right? I mean, that's at least a field goal where they were field position-wise, and he got greedy and went, who are you throwing the ball into triple coverage? Michael Thomas isn't there. Alvin Kamara's not there. Marcus Colston didn't walk through the door. What are we doing?
So again, it is 13-7, Cowboys with the lead. And look, and maybe the best part of this story comes to us from Clarence Hill, longtime insider with the Dallas Cowboys, who said he saw Jerry Jones on Bourbon Street before the game. And he jokingly said he was coaching tonight and wanted to know what he should call on the first play. I said, send Amari Cooper on a go route to test his conditioning. He offered me a drink. I turned it down. I have to work. So really, I mean, I get this was a joke, but oh, come on, man. How great would that be? Jerry Jones calling the plays. He's got the, is this the way the headphone works? Am I talking into the mic right here? All right, listen, Jason, I got it. Oh, sorry. He hasn't been here for a while. Does this get me right to Mike McCarthy? Oh, Mike's not on. Okay. Who do we got? Who's a coach tonight? So, because Steven coaching the game? Steven, run that 65 toss power trap. Oh, it's not Steven. It's Jerry Jr. Listen, that 65 or Spider 2 Y Banana. Those are the two plays I heard of that they do on the NFL films all the time. Can you guys listen to me, right? Can you hear me down there? Who's down there, coach? You know, I could bring Barry back. You know, he can coach tonight. If he one game only, I think he's still under contract. Or I can bring Jimmy back. You know, the guy's not doing a lot. So just let me know. I'm just going to sit up here and, you know, call out plays to you and maybe just sing some songs. So just me right here singing.
Well, which tweet was better, that one or the picture of him with Ric Flair?
Oh, no, that's better. I mean, because come on, yeah. Jerry Jones calling plays.
No, it would have been fun.
Just throw it deep. Yeah, Dak, just throw it deep, okay? Throw it deep to Zeke. I know he's a running back. Just throw it deep. I'm paying both you guys a lot of money. Just throw it deep to him.
I think there would have been a lot of plays called for Amari Cooper out of spite. Look, I do have to pause things because, I mean, I was the one that went to Universal and had the flashy thing and the Men in Black ride. You're conveniently forgetting months of telling me that Dak Prescott was going to be the MVP.
Well, he was. He was. And then a funny thing happened to Dak Prescott. He was. And then the Cowboys stopped playing well. That's what happened. He was looking great, man. I'll tell you what. He was looking awesome. Dak was right there, man. He was looking fantastic. I'm thinking, oh, boy, look how great I'm doing on this prediction. This is fantastic. And then the Cowboys hit the skids. What can I tell you? It happens.
And then you said, hey, look over here. And it went, phoop.
He came out of the first 6 weeks of the season. Okay, and it's not like he's been playing awful. He's 22-7. His quarterback rating is over 100. Unfortunately,
yeah,
there's
so
many
a lot
other
of
quarterbacks
guys.
Who are that. Right, exactly. So the fortunate thing, it's not like he's playing badly. It's many other quarterbacks are at that point. But you come out of that New England game, okay, and he was at 15 touchdowns and 3 picks. And he had had 3 straight games with a quarterback rating of at least 110. All right, that was it. And then they lost to Denver, and that's really what kind of put his MVP candidacy on the skids. They lose to Kansas City, and he is terrible in that game, throws a couple of picks. So, yeah, no, I get it. I'll take the L on that. He was playing well, and then those couple of games really just hurt him really, really badly.
Yeah, the Denver game, they got worked. But for fantasy purposes, he did throw 2 late touchdown passes. So
it
helped
help,
him
yes.
there.
Yeah, that did,
so
that
so that helped him there. But yeah, the quarterback rating, I don't know that it has the same meaning anymore. Because we've got 19 guys, including a cut. Well, if we throw out the outliers, we got 17 guys that have a rating of at least 90.
Right. Well, so it's now that
it doesn't have the same
better.
Juice it once did.
No, now instead of being, hey, if you're at, remember it used to be if you're at 80, you're a decent quarterback. Now it's like if you're at 80, you're at the bottom of the league. Now you have to be at about 110, 105.
Hey, you know who was at 80? 80.2. Take a guess.
Zach Wilson.
No, Davis Mills.
Oh, Davis, I thought.
Sam Zach Darnold at 71.3. Justin Fields at 69. Zach Wilson at 62.9. Only people behind him on the list, Ryan Fitzpatrick, who only had 6 attempts, 56.3. And A.J. Brown, with his 1 attempt, had a 39.6.
Steve Pelure, also right behind him. No, now you just need to be the really good quarterback rating. Instead of being somewhere in the high 90s, it's got to be 105 to 110 because quarterback play is getting better as far as that goes. So, yeah, no, listen, Dak still has a chance to get back in. I mean, probably not. But, no, I'll take the L on that one. He was playing great. And then the Cowboys just completely disappointed.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Brian Kelly, new head coach at LSU, who made his welcome speech at halftime of the Ohio-LSU basketball game tonight. Now, here's Brian Kelly, who suddenly, in the past, 2.5 days, has sort of developed a Southern accent. Take a listen.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, this is a great way to get started, and I haven't even won all my games yet. It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, and we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana, but more importantly, to be with you great fans. And to be part of what is going to be an incredible ride here at Louisiana State University.
Now I saw 2 things hit social media that really described this really well. Now, the coach from Bobby Boucher, right, mm-hmm. Cajun man, basically showing up in my timeline repeatedly. This is after just 48 hours. There he is. Bruce Feldman, though, reminds me of one of the great orators of our time by saying he hasn't even been in the SEC 3 days and he's already starting to sound like the American Dream Dusty Rhodes. We're talking about hard times. What people can't put food on their tables. Hard times. That's kind of what Kelly started to go here.
Look, I can't get mad at him because who knows, if somebody came up and said, hey, Jason, we know you have this gig at Fox Sports Radio, but we really would like you to do afternoon drive here, somewhere in the South. We're going to pay you a lot. We're going to pay you $95 million over the next 10 years to do so. I would say, okay. And then I would get down there. I would say, welcome inside. It's the Jason Smith Show. Hey, how you doing, everybody? Boy, I'll tell you what. I'm excited to be down here and ready to play and broadcast. podcast the hell out of things. You guys all ready to go? I'll tell you, the phone number is 877-999-9999. I am ready to go and talk sports with you for the next few hours here. Afternoon drive every day, 3 to 7 p.m. And my accent would just get more and more pronounced as the days go on, because I would say, are you kidding me with that kind of play? Do you really think the Georgia defense is going to be able to be susceptible to that kind of trickeration? I mean, really, I might do that. I mean, I would have to just sell out to do that.
Well, I think there's a bit of a gradual bleed into your speech pattern over time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Just like when you leave a metropolitan area, after a while, goes away. For me, only if I'm with my brothers and around my family or I'm really drunk do I really sound like I'm from the south side of Chicago. But if you immerse me back there for a couple of days and I'm back home, all bets are off. Likewise, I think if you were to suddenly relocate your family to the south, and over time, what you're hearing, what you're processing, callers, people you work with, eventually over time, yeah, going to the grocery store, to restaurants, I think there's going to be some natural affectation that happens and occurs over time. This was a pretty immediate immersion. It's like he took a Rosetta Stone 48-hour class, hit the Babbel app to try to figure out how to get a drawl.
Hey, I'm Jason Smith, and I'm happy to be talking sports with you, Chicago. This is going to be some kind of show. Ryan Sandberg's coming on. We're getting the Hawk Andre Dawson on. Coach is coming on the show. We got lots of great stuff planned for you right here. This is what it's going to... I don't get it. The only accent thing I ever did was I was really conscious to lose my New York accent when I got on the air in college at Z89 in Syracuse. Because the first time I went on the air and I did the show and I listened to an air check after about the show. And, you know, the person who was helping me said, okay, you did this, you did this, you did this. And I hear my voice and it's, and Z89, the music mix is a difference here. It's 4:04 p.m. I'm Jason Smith. I'm going, oh my God, I sound like just some dude from New York. So I made sure that when I was talking to lose my New York accent, because I drop my R's all the time. It was a really big thing. When I listen to myself, I go, oh my God, I can't sound like that on the air. Oh my God, I can't. So I right away, and like within like two shows, I had lost my. Now I didn't try a different accent. I didn't try to, well, now I'm going to go and I'm going to say my A's really loud. Hey, you know, I got a cat the other day, and this cat is down back in Chicago again. But I just made sure, okay, I want to enunciate better and not have that accent, because I didn't know how that would play. Like, if I wanted a job someplace, you know, would a New York accent play if I was working in Seattle or in Texas? Right? I didn't know. So let me have no accent. And now I don't think you can hear a lot of my New York accent. You wouldn't know.
Every now and again.
I don't know.
Same thing. Every once in a while, it's going to slip. But it's all a question of where you're working, right? On the national scale, don't they kind of want it to not have the affectation? I don't know. Maybe not. But certainly regionally, right? You want someone who sounds like you talking at you sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, maybe.
I like this guy. He sounds like me. Hey, I do, don't
no,
I? Yeah,
no,
hey,
nobody's
really
that
good.
Far.
All right.
Come on, just because you saw the super fans a couple of times doesn't mean you could go down there anytime you want, my friend. But, yeah, the Brian Kelly was last night halftime, Ohio and LSU. But, you know, it's the point. That was about the time that we had the madness of the Major League Baseball countdown, and we went and saw the Grandmaster and everything else. It became a very deep show with a lot of deep thoughts. But this one is making the rounds right now. Let's face it, the Cowboys and the Saints haven't exactly given us a ton of thrills. So this is taking over the interwebs, at least for the moment.
Do you think there was like a meeting with Brian Kelly and someone teaching him the accent, kind of like when Borat sat down with the guy teaching about comedy? You know, a joke is when you say, that sounds good, not? Yeah, you think that's how it went with Brian Kelly?
I think a little bit. I think he got on a plane, and then maybe he had some lunch with some folks today, and then he tried to just play to the folks he's meeting and shaking hands and kissing babies and decided, all right, I got to try to fit in here. It's like, go win football games. Because he even made the joke. He goes, look, what an ovation. I haven't even won all my games yet.
Coach, I need you to say, I'm happy to be here at LSU. I'm happy to be here at LSU. No, Coach. Now you got to say LSU.
LSU.
Like saying LSU. LSU. LSU, as I said. I'm here at LSU. No. LSU. Say I'm at LSU. WNBC.
LSU. At the bottom of that card, it says, thanks for the money. No, I'm not reading that.
Oh, my goodness. So, look, that's where things are at with Brian Kelly. Now, let me dispel a big myth here right now about LSU and Notre Dame. Because a big storyline the last couple days has emerged that LSU is a better college job than Notre Dame. Honestly, when I hear this, I know what this is. This is radio and TV hosts who decide, what can I say about this story that is still pretty outlandish is going to get me clicks, right? Because I know. Look, whatever you think about us, the show we do every night, you know what we say is what we think. It may be popular, it may not be popular, but we tell you what we think. I don't ever spend a second thinking, oh, if I say this, it's going to get me clicks. If I say this, but you can tell people, so LSU is a better job than Notre Dame. What? How can anybody say that? And it's going to get you noticed because that take is just ridiculously stupid. All right. Now, here's the thing about LSU versus Notre Dame. All right. In what world is being the coach at LSU better than Notre Dame? Yes, you can get better athletes at LSU. You can recruit a little bit easier. But can
that,
you
that
really
helps.
Win?
That's part of the job.
I mean, Ed Orgeron won the national title and he got fired less than two years later.
True.
Okay, less than 2 years went by. There is no standard you can be held to if a guy can win the national championship because he happens to have Joe Burrow and a couple of NFL wide receivers that you can't stay there more than 2 years after. You're fired after that. How are you really going to go to LSU and win? You can win the national title and be out in 2 years. So tell me how LSU is a better job than Notre Dame. Even when Notre Dame makes a bad decision at head coach, they stick with it. They've had two head coaches in the last 15 years. They let Charlie Weiss go for 5 years before they said, you know what, we need something else. And Brian Kelly comes in, and Brian Kelly did a phenomenal job, and he was there and could have stayed there forever. So tell me how LSU is a better job. Notre Dame has their own television network. Notre Dame is always making news. Notre Dame is always a topic because it's Notre bleeping Dame. LSU, they're anonymous in the SEC more than they're relevant. They have had three losses every single season the last decade except for the year they won the national championship. And I give them credit. Look, they won the national title and that was great. But this is not LSU has had a long line of success going into this. They're not Alabama. They have three or more losses every single season. Okay? You know how many three or less loss seasons Brian Kelly had at Notre Dame since in the last decade? He had seven of them. Seven times. He's been to the playoff twice. He's been to the title game once. Okay, what LSU gives you is more money, and let's face it, that's what it is, right? If Notre Dame had said, oh, hey, Brian Kelly, you want, they're giving you $95 million. We'll give you $150 million. The money was the deal, right? Make me an offer I can't refuse. And Brian Kelly sees that and says, well, look at the money, and I can go to LSU, and recruiting will be a little bit easier. Okay, but is that a better job? If it's more money and less red tape, does that make it a better job? No, it makes it an easier job. But it doesn't make it better because you'll be out at LSU. He'll have 3-8-4 seasons. Guess what? He is gone. If Ed Orgeron is out that easy after winning the national title, going 15-0 and undefeated, Brian Kelly's not making it past 3 years of being 8-4. And Marcus Freeman, and if Notre Dame keeps winning, he's going to be there as long as he wants to. That's how it is. So you can tell me all you want about LSU, but don't sit here and tell me LSU is a better job than Notre Dame. That's ridiculous. Every single coach in college football, what job would you want? They would say, I want my job or I want Notre Dame. So don't tell me Notre Dame's a better job because it isn't. It's just easier to win, and it's an easier take to fire people up with to go, oh, this person's crazy. It's going to get clicks on it. That's what the take about LSU being a better job than Notre Dame is all about.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of other issues going on with Orgeron behind the scenes that kind of led to it. It wasn't just on the on the field issues, as it were. But to your point, yeah, a pile of money, recruiting will be a little easier, a little less red tape and intervention from the school. Right, that was one of the things that you point out when you get a Lincoln Riley to show up at USC. It's like, are they loosening the restrictions that were on the last couple of guys after Pete Carroll got them in a bunch of trouble and they lost all sorts of, you know, recruits and everything off of that and sanctions? Because if that's the case, then that was probably one of the big reasons Lincoln Riley said, sure, I'm in, as long as these guys stay out of my business. At Notre Dame, well, they don't. And we've talked about the standards, the academic stuff. Even if it's just a couple of athletes on the fringe, that might be enough to get you wins. Now, playing in that conference, sure. It's absolutely a gauntlet to try to navigate and get yourself to the promised land. Maybe at Notre Dame, he just felt he'd maxed. To me, again, it's still just about a giant pile of money because you need very little to happen this weekend and you might have been in the national title race, right? You might have been in the playoff and not just in the New Year's Day bowls. Instead, you know, we have this change that comes up. So that's also the hasn't been talked about all year. Whenever anybody leaves a job like that beyond the giant pile of cash, I'm always like, is there anything else behind curtain number two? Anything else we may be overlooking and pushing past? Not that everybody's got, you know, planting nefarious seeds and distrust, mistrust, and problems, but it seems like that was, for my lifetime, and certainly growing up in Chicago, that was the job of jobs. And to walk away, even with some of those recruiting advantages, still seems a little bit, ambitious would be the kind way to say it, Jason. Mm.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Beyer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oh. Hi.
Cowboys beat the Saints 27-17. Joining us now on the hotline to break it all down, no one better. NFL on Fox insider extraordinaire. You can follow him on Twitter at Jay Glazer. It is the aforementioned Jay Glazer. Jay, what's happening, man?
Man, you guys are so popular, brought the whole house down tonight, huh?
That's what happened, man. Our takes were too hot.
Why had a hot take on Zeke running?
You know what the last word said on the show was? You're going to love this. The last word said was Chad Pennington. And apparently that's the magic word. That's what did it to us. Yeah.
Well, don't say it again then.
Okay.
It's like a love Thanos Chad snap Pennington, right there.
Great. Ooh, dude. Boy. Love Chad Pennington.
So now that we're back, we could talk about the game. It's awesome. Look, the Cowboys had struggled. But here they are. They get the win tonight. They get the turnovers, kind of a very Cowboys-like way in which the defense does what they need to do. Have the Cowboys fixed stuff, or do you still have questions right now?
No. I mean, look, it took them for, you know, really a while to get the running game going, even the outside running game going. I kind of don't understand that. I know you have all these shiny weapons, but, man, you've got to get that running game going to make it more of a balanced attack instead of hoping to just kind of hit big on some of those bigger plays. If you have it balanced, then those bigger plays will present themselves a lot more.
I know Jerry Jones addressed it earlier in the week, Jay, but is Zeke right? Because he's not running with much authority up the gut.
Even if he is, Tony Pollard certainly gives him a bigger, you know, burst and a lot more speed than Zeke does. We've now seen it the last couple of weeks. And, yeah, I mean, you got to go. Is he beat up? Absolutely. I mean, you could see it. He's beat up. But they never thought of sitting Zeke down. They do like – look, they like kind of pounding Zeke can give you, especially this 1-2 punch, but they're not really using the 1-2 punch in the right way. You know, and you know, the running game in the end tonight, it ended up bailing them out. That with the defense, but man, you got to kind of commit, you got to definitely commit to it a lot earlier in the game.
Jay, to get away from the game, and obviously the big story, Antonio Brown suspended for three games for a COVID violation. He falsified his COVID papers. You know, we got the tweet earlier in the season. The Buccaneers said, look, we're all vaccinated. Everything is great. Now we find out that this got falsified. How does this happen? How does it – I mean, are there checks and balances that go through? Take us inside this here.
Well, by the way, it's not just him. It's Edwards also, who losing him is big. And it's look, I'm kind of intrigued and curious as to why, you know, they dubbed it – it was falsifying, right, his vaccine. Instead of saying he had a fake vaccine, it was – it's not false. What the word they use? I forget. Man, I'm driving the car. But it wasn't – didn't come straight out.
He misrepresented his vaccination status.
Misrepresented it,
yeah.
Whatever it is, man, you're sitting on top of that division, and these are the rules. You got to play by these rules. And it's not just as a player, but you got a coach like Tom Moore in there who, you know, is an older guy, and the health issues that Bruce Arians threw, it's selfish. It's just selfish, just flat-out selfish. And then this is the rules. And, you know, look, I don't politicize anything, whether it's vaccine or COVID, anything like that. These are the rules, and you know you can get suspended. You know something could happen and hurt your team. Let's just look at it from a football standpoint. That's just stupid and selfish, you know. And like I told you guys, like, man, I've never had a flu shot. My teammates said they want me to get the vaccine. That was it. I'm going to do it for my teammates. That's it. No problem. And this was just, you know, the ultimate form of selfishness there, in my opinion.
Yeah, maybe by using the term misrepresentation, they avoid the legalese there, Jay, because of the federal potential charges there.
When I first talked to the Bucs about it, they thought they were kind of getting hung over a barrel by someone who was, they said they were trying to get extorted, this and that. Clearly, this story was true, right? But one of the names they were given, they said, well, we know, we saw that guy get vaccinated with our very own eyes. So, you know, in their minds, again, it's they thought they'd do the right thing. But you're asking how it gets by. I mean, guys, you've seen the little vaccine card.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like, you know, it's not like we're fooling the Mossad here. You know, it's like.
There's not a lot to that. Sure.
So there's a lot that goes on with this, with the honor system. And by the way, people are asking, why not Aaron Rodgers? Why, you know, why did he just get the fine? There's a difference. Aaron Rodgers told the NFL and the Players Union and the whole team he was not vaccinated. Right, and that he did something else, and asked for permission to see if that would suffice being vaccinated. They said no. AB and Edwards and those guys, you know, gave in that they were vaccinated and had the cards. Aaron Rodgers never told the league and the union that he was vaccinated under their rules. He never misrepresented that. They always knew it. It was the rest of America who got mad and said, well, we felt that we were misrepresented to America.
Yeah, look, if lying to the media was suspendable, there would be no games. I mean, there would zero games.
Right.
Now, lastly, Jay, does the NFL now have to go back and take a bigger look through? Okay, now we got to go through everybody's cards and figure things out more.
I don't know how they do that. I don't know if they really want to do that. I mean, they're saying that 80% of the league's been vaccinated. There at facilities, man, I don't know how they go and do that without somebody else coming forward saying, hey, I have proof for you here. I think with AB and Edwards and those guys, there's more proof there. There's somebody willing to come forward. So here's the information we have.
Always pay your people, Jay. That's the rule of all of this. Pay your debts.
Oh, my goodness, right? Yeah. And it's just like AB. I mean, chance after chance And here you have, you know, these guys giving you another chance. Just, man, you, at one point you just got to say, hey, if this can get me in trouble, I got to go the other way and not do that.
Pay your chef. That is your lesson from this here. He's on Twitter at Jay Glazer. That is at Jay Glazer. Check him out. All the latest on MVP, merging vets and players as well, doing some great stuff there. Jay, thanks for popping on with us. We're glad to be back on. Glad to have you on. Thanks so much.
Appreciate you guys.
Antibiotica, buddy.
Love Chad Pennington. See
you. See you, buddy.
Don't say his name. What are you doing?
He says that going out the door.
Yeah, I'm done talking to you guys. I can say it. I don't care if something happens. That's going to become like the thing for Fox Sports Radio now. If you say Chad Pennington, oh, something, that's like the new.
Just don't say it five times like it's the Candyman.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. But if you say his name, oh, that could take the network down. Don't say Chad.
Yeah, but
Pennington's
the way Jay Glazer just did that to us now, that was like the villain in a movie throwing a grenade over his shoulder while he was smoking a cigar and walking out the door.
Yeah, he says, don't say his name, and then he says,
don't do that.
Something could happen. That was Jay. Twitter and how about a Fresca? Mike at Swollen Dome. Great stuff from Jay Glazer. Yeah, the Antonio Brown stuff. There is so much more to unpack with that.